Audrey season's in full effect, and we sound just like it. I want to know how I lost the bunch of pills that I have of allergy medicine that somehow disappeared between Minneapolis and here.
Yeah.
It's quite the conundrum.
Yes.
But anyway, welcome to the Soderstrom Bubble. I'm Scotty Waz. That's Jen, the history girl. This week we're going to talk about as much as we can about the World Championship, the World Hockey Championship, the lineage to start this, everything else. It is the stepchild of the Stanley Cup playoffs for most people.
Well, yeah, if you're in North America.
Right, for most North Americans. But if you're, it's odd that this is the big thing and the World Hockey Champ or World Junior Championships are big in North America.
Mm-hmm.
But probably not the rest of the world as much as the World Championships are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Different value system.
I suppose.
North America places a lot of premium on the up-and-coming, the draft picks, the, you know, we like our stars, but we want to see, you know, we want to be able to say, I saw Sidney Crosby play the World Champion, the World Juniors, you know. We want to be able to say, I saw, I don't know, Austin Matthews play the World Juniors. Like, it's one of those...
I did it first things?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Whereas in Europe, their emphasis is not so much on any sort of feeder...
any development.
...draft system as it is on the teams themselves.
Mm.
So...
Makes sense. We'll also riffle on the top 50 greatest teams of the NHL in field thanks to your voting. And thanks to you guys, we have no one post or pre-1950, so we might have to fix that ourselves because we are that self-indulgent. also, we'll take we have a bunch of questions from people this week. Thank you, guys. If you have questions at SDR Strong Bubble, or just reply to our calls on Twitter for that, and that's also at SDR Strong Bubble. Yeah. And then we'll wrap the show up and get on our Mother's Day weekend and all that crap. So first and foremost, the World Hockey Championships. What you must know beforehand, it was originally the Olympics, I believe, was the hockey championship.
1924 to 1968.
1920 as well.
1920 was the unofficial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1920 was the first proto World Championship, but it became an official thing in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
So,
every year there was an Olympic. The Olympic would be the World Championship rather than having it like in late April.
Yeah, having
like
separate events,
kind of like they do it now.
Yeah.
So there's a situation there, and of course we look at the IIHF, and that started in 1909. The next year, the European Championships happened, and those things happened for a while.
Yes.
That happened to what, 90?
Something
91.
Like that. Yeah.
Oddly enough, the Soviets, the last gold medalist of all that. My God, like you look from...
From 54 on, the Soviet Union was...
Well, hell yeah, 54, only Sweden was the only Eastern non-Eastern Bloc nation to win the damn thing. Because the Soviets and the Czechs went back and forth as well in the European Championship. Do you think they should still have that today? A European championship?
I feel like they kind of do that with the Davos Cup. Or with, but not, I mean, they have an American team in Davos.
Oh, in the Spengler?
Spengler, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's an invitational tournament, though.
Okay.
That's not, like, and that's club teams as well. It's not national teams. Well, I was wondering more of a national, if there's a national thing rather than club situation.
Well, it started out as basically club teams that doubled as
national
teams.
Yeah.
So.
Spain was a fun tournament.
I really want to go there someday.
Mm-hmm. But I think the European Championship should replace the World Championship, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Canada and the United States care that much about it.
Because all the top guys, it's not like they have a national team that travels around like they did in the old days.
Right. Starting in the 60s, they had the national development team. And that's all they did was go around and play these games and these exhibitions and these competitions. And they never did well, which is how they got replaced by Hockey Canada. But they were basically the idea for Hockey Canada. So
right, and for a lot of pro players, especially later on in the mid to late 80s, where there were contract disputes.
It was a place to go.
It was a place to go. I mean, Lindros went there. Sean Burke went there. Mm-hmm. Andy Moog went there during his contract dispute.
Didn't Fear?
I don't know if Fear did. I know he played in Canada Cup.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, because he played in Canada Cup, and I think he played in the Rendezvous as well.
Yeah.
So that's a big, you know, and the national team now, huge mm-hmm. for people. But it's May.
Everybody's focused on the Stanley Cup.
And not only that, but you're putting together piecemeal teams.
Yeah.
Like, of players who were not even in the playoffs or guys who were eliminated early. And, like, some of the guys, like, I'm surprised, like, you know, Ovechkin said he's not going. I'm surprised guys like Kuznetsov and Orlov are going, because that's a lot of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you guys are in contract years and we got to find a way to keep money to keep you mm-hmm. guys going. That's another rant for another show.
I think some guys feel the obligation differently than other guys do. Like maybe Ovi said, I'm too injured to go, you know.
That was pretty gruesome leg injury.
Yeah. And there are other guys who just said, you know what, I've been on the national team for 10 years. It's somebody else's turn.
I mean, and like this is a lot of these guys take very big, especially the Europeans. And that's why I think mm-hmm. it should just be a European thing, because they take high pride
yeah.
in playing for their national team. Not saying that North Americans don't.
Right.
But I'm saying the pride's another level in Europe because it's very nationalistic over there.
Well, and you look at when the NHL first said, no, we're not sending pros over. And this was like the early 90s. Some of the Latvian guys, some of the Russians were like, well, I'm going with or without your permission. You know, like to them, playing on the national team is more important than playing in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you didn't see the American and Canadian guys taking that sort of position.
Well, so. it's one of those things where the North American guys are company guys.
Yeah, they are.
Johnny Taves not going to go over. Sidney Crosby probably not going to go over in Pyeongchang.
No, if their team says, look, it's your choice, but we don't want you to go, they're not going to go.
No.
And if they say, it's your choice, and then they get a phone call, it's like, well, you know, pressuring them, but not pressuring them, they're not going to go. You know, it's, if you're an NHL player and you go against the owners, like, what else are you going to do for your career?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what other option do you have? Like, Finnish guys, they can go home and they can go to the Liga, yeah. And in Sweden, they can go home and then go to the SEL.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Austria, they can go home and go to, like, you know, they have options.
Sure.
And they can go home and play. Whereas here, what are your choices?
Yeah, there are none. I mean, you can go over in Europe. I mean, a lot of guys could. Made a decent living playing over in Europe. But
the problem with that is, A, it's not the NHL. B, you're not going to get the money and the fame. And C, teams are only allowed X number of import players. So, you know,
that's when you start. When you get to be like Jason Muzzotti and just get the Italian citizenship so you can play for the national team.
Yeah.
And then you're not considered an import.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. World Championships, it's cute. I'm not big on it. It's there. I think there's only been one or two times it's been in North America.
Yeah, it's been very few times.
So, it's one of those situations where it's just like, that's probably why it doesn't get any play either, because, you know, the World Championships are never in it. It seems that hockey always has to play their stuff in season.
Yes.
Whereas basketball, they have their big World Championships in, like, August, like 2 months before the season starts. And, like, you know, big guys can go play, and the Olympics are in August as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like, well, what the hell? Like, mm-hmm. Why can't hockey get in line?
There was a motion by hockey, I think by U.S. hockey, to, like, you know, why can't you move the tournament? Why can't you make it every other year? Why can't you, you know?
This is the World Championship?
Yeah. Mm. And let me see, here it is. 2009, NHL Players Association director Paul Kelly suggested World Championships be held every other year and that the NHL go on break to allow full player participation. IIHF President Renee Faisal. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I can't read very well.
Can't speak well either.
I can't. Responded that the tournament has television contracts and hosting commitments, and a large change would be too difficult to put in place. So kind of an up yours, we're not accommodating the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Because the NHL likes to think it's the end-all and be-all of hockey.
Well, look at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, that's also voted on by a bunch of Canadian and American dudes.
Hockey writers, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it's a huge thing for European television rights and stuff like that. I'm sure if we get any European listeners telling me, yeah, this is big deal.
Yeah.
This is big money, big situations. But I mean, and I mean, it's stupid for them to even think that, oh, you get the Olympics were there for a time and you get, oh, well, you can't shut the league down, especially at that time in terms of just getting full participation and moving it this, that, and the other. I don't know. It's nice to look at, but at the same time, I don't think it's...
I think the Olympics mean more.
Oh, for sure.
To a lot of people than the World Championships do.
I think in European minds, it goes Olympics, World Championships, club, and then maybe NHL.
Yeah, and maybe if your guy is on an NHL team.
Sure.
You know, like...
And that's just it, right? Like, their ideals are completely... backwards from what the American ideals are, which is Stanley Cup,
right.
Olympic Stanley Cup 1 and 1A.
Right. Which is, you know, it's just what we're exposed to naturally, so. Mm.
And then, yeah, everything else, like, then they couldn't care less about European hockey unless there's a top prospect there.
Yeah. The whole Austin Matthews thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm surprised there's not more American kids trying to get over there and do that.
There just might be.
There soon enough.
Considering how well he's doing, and you know, it's going to look like a viable alternative because he's successful.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where the OHL has that exceptional rule.
Yeah.
They did it for John Tavares, and then they just bum-rushed everyone through, and I think maybe him and Aaron Eppley were the only two that were successful in the exception rule. So, I don't know. I mean, well, I guess Connor McDavid, too. Connor McDavid was the exception rule, but he's from another planet. So, yeah, I mean, the World Championships, it was born out of the European Championships and everyone abound there. But, yeah, for a while, there was just Soviet dominance constantly.
Yeah, it started with 54. And you have to understand that with the Soviet system, they didn't bring anything out into the open until they had basically perfected it,
mm-hmm.
which is why they dominated in... weightlifting, and they dominated in gymnastics, and because they took the time to develop this program and then go public with the players and the teams and the results. And so it was quite a shock, and quite a few teams were not able to figure out how to handle the Soviet system. And that's basically what it amounted to.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Just trying to look at here for the history in terms of medals and stuff like that, and then I'll play a little game. Play a little game with you.
Yeah.
So,
the final Soviet medal was 1990, I think, or 91.
You're right the first time.
90, yeah.
22nd championship for them. Then they've gone on to win 5 more as Russia, putting a 27 total. Canada has 26 as the games are ongoing right now. And that's gold medals, mind you. Total medals, Canada has 48.
Yeah.
And then the Czechoslovakia/Czech Republic has 46, so they're second in total medal counts.
Yeah, which is interesting because Slovakia had to make their way up from the bottom. Like, when they split, they put Slovakia... at the bottom pool.
Oh yeah, no,
in
the
relegation,
Czech,
and they had to work their way up. Like the Czech Republic team was the Czechoslovakian replacement, but the Slovakian team had to go all the way to the bottom and work their way
they
up.
They took Prague, once you take Prague, it's like everything else. Who cares?
Yeah,
Peter Huza. All right, fine.
The Soviets won a medal in every tournament they participated in.
Wow.
Yeah, so from 54 to 91, they medaled every. Year
counts for 34 years if you're scoring home, folks.
Yeah, and from 63 to 91, only 4 teams won a world championship medal. The Soviet Union, Czechoslovakia, Sweden, and Canada. So, yeah, this is not an area where the United States has been very dominant at all. The
United States, if we're looking at medal count, 18 total medals, 2 gold, 9 silver, 7 in the bronze. Our last gold medal? Brrr. Wow. We're going back. Going back in time, kids.
What, 1930-something?
1960, because it was the Olympics. So, because that was the last time, one of the last ones where they had the Olympics. Because 68 was the last Olympics / World Championship situation. So 1960, yeah. The last time they have medaled, however. Uh, 2015, bronze.
Mm-hmm. And there was no World Championship from what, 1940, 41 to 1946 or so?
Yeah, from 40 to 46, there were no World Championships. 39 was the last one, and then 47 was the reboot.
Oh, and story about the 38 mm-hmm. World Championship and the 36 Olympics, which were also a World Championship. Germany had, one of their top players was a guy named Rudi Ball, B-A-L-L. And he was one of their top scorers, one of their... I mean, he was just, like, championship material all the way around on the ice. And he was Jewish. And he was originally banned from playing in the 36 Olympics. And the other top player said, well, if my best friend can't play, I'm not playing. Which meant they had zero top scorers at that point. So Nazi officials made a deal with Rudi and said, okay, if you play for us and you play hard for us, none of this... Oh, I tried. We will let your family go. We will let your family emigrate to, you know. And so he played. He played 36. He played 38. His family got to resettle in South Africa. Safe and sound.
Wow.
Yeah. And he joined them in, I think, 40 or 42, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean... There are some pretty crazy stories in some of these events.
Also goes to show how much these nationals want these gold medals. Like, they want this prominence.
Yeah.
And that's why someone said to me yesterday, because we're talking, we're obviously still post-morteming the Caps. Talking about how not many players are going to go and play in the Olympics. I'm like, a lot of Europeans are going to go.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a lot of North Americans jump.
Mm-mm.
From the Caps alone, I could definitely see Kuznetsov going.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Ovechkin going if he makes it. He hasn't been playing that well, but whatever. If Orlov's still there, I could see him possibly going. I could see Backstrom going.
Mm-hmm.
So, going to be huge. I mean, Braden Holtby has already said if they're not going to let NHLers, he's not going to care. He's not going to go. It's that company line thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what Braden Holtby is, though. Like, he's very much a...
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the only one, by any stretch.
Oh, God, no. No, he's one of many.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same line that you're going to hear from Taves, and it's the same line you're going to hear from Crosby, and it's the same line you're going to hear from... I'm trying to think of any prominent American players right now. I know there are a couple on the
Kessel.
Sharks. Yeah, Kessel.
Pavelski. Kane.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good
They're all going to say Schneider, the same thing.
It's going to be like, no, I'm going to stay with my NHL team.
And some of them, it's going to be the truth because they've already won a gold medal. So they're fine.
Oh, for the Canada guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say, U.S. hasn't won a gold medal since 80.
No. But, I mean, the American guys have a silver medal, which, you know, maybe that's good enough for them. Maybe it's not for some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone's going to jump, it's going to be sort of the fringe guys, I guess.
If that. Like, I mean, I know I talked to representatives from the Players Hockey, the Professional Hockey Players Association, so minor league guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, if the NHL is final, we'll definitely discuss it if we're approached with it. So, like, you can see a lot of minor league guys making
it. And as they
too.
Should be, because some of those minor league guys are pretty damn good, so.
But it also brings out that whole thing, if they're under NHL contract, what do they do then? Is their team's going to have to release them and stuff, and
sure.
will they?
Sure.
Which I think they will. Like, I think they will in terms of. As long as they don't call them up. Like,
well, it's a smart move in two ways. A, it promos the development league.
Mm-hmm.
B, it promotes goodwill with the promo league players in future contract dealings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's several positives to this, and the only downside is maybe they might need to call that player up, and maybe that player gets injured. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, that's the risk you take in anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one reason they don't want to go to Pyeongchang, because they don't want to go ahead and pump that, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? But there's the World Hockey Championships, as we could do it, kind of.
Well, there's a couple of other interesting moments.
Go ahead.
So the World Championships are seen as sort of politically, as political statements, at least in that era from 54 to, like, I don't know, 1980, 1986, 1990, what have you. Pick your end date, basically. So, you know, Soviet Union bad is sort of mentality, like with the Olympics. There was one time I think it was 69, the Soviet Union invaded part of Poland, or part of the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia at the time. And Czechoslovakia managed to just thrash the Soviet Union in a game, and there was just, like, joyous rioting. Like, think Stanley Cup winning, joyous rioting in the streets of Prague. And that's just from winning a simple,
like, round robin game.
Yeah, yeah. Because to their mind, it was a statement, like, sure, your tanks may be in our streets, but we can still beat you on the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I think that was 68, because that's
68, yeah,
that's the number that a lot of those Czech players wear now, like Ziggy Palfy wore it, and obviously Jager wears it.
Yeah,
so that's an iconic number for them.
Yeah, and it was a big political statement when Artur Erbe switched from the Soviet team
to Latvia,
to
one of the separated states.
Yeah, yep. So, you know, there were a lot of little interesting hockey moments that turned out to be like quasi-political moments as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you have the rules. So some severe nitpicking with the rules and the argument over who's a naturalized citizen and qualified to play and who's not, and the way they chose some of these winners was like, well, Finland has 5 wins and 2 ties, and Sweden has 6 wins and 1 tie, so Sweden wins. And it's not because they had 6 wins and 1 tie, it's because Sweden scored 3 more goals than Finland did. Or, you know, like, just wacky rules for deciding.
Well, hell, they did that in the Olympics, too, because, like, the 80 game, like, is, like, Finland was bronze.
Yeah.
Although, you know, the U.S. won the gold in that last game, and somehow Soviets, it's like, how the hell does that work?
And yeah, the Soviet Union didn't place? Or didn't?
They finished second.
They finished second. Yeah, but the rules are just very odd. Like, a couple of times in the tournament, if you got to the gold medal game, either you won the gold medal or you were fourth place. Like, it was very...
very weird.
Very strange. Yeah. So... yep. And they decided that they were concerned that the world championships were taking something away, or the NHL was taking something away. The world championships were changing a little too much, and people were starting to lose interest. So then they really started to introduce and push the World Juniors, and
because that was created in 77, I think.
Yeah, and it was like an unofficial tournament for a while, mm-hmm. and then it became an official one, and then the whole punch-up thing happened, and then it was on everybody's radar. And that's a great book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The Night the Lights Went Out.
When the Lights Went Out.
When the Lights Out.
Gare Joyce.
Yeah.
It's one of our books. I think we both have that book, actually.
Could be.
I know I have it.
Yeah.
You might have just stole it to read it. I don't know.
Yeah. It was
underneath all the media guys up there.
our new horde.
Yeah. And our old horde, too.
Yeah.
All right, so, you have any more stories, or can we play a little game?
Oh, I do. The 95, weird little fact. So, Finland won, I think it was their second ever gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And their top line was nicknamed Huey, Dewey, and Louie. It was Koivu, Lehtinen, and Peltonen. And
so it was Saku Koivu, Yuri Lehtinen, and Yuri Peltonen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were named the boys from Duxburg. I'm going to have to ask one of my Finnish friends why. I don't know how this became a thing that they were named Huey, Dewey, and Louie, but I actually have pictures of them in like their official Finland uniform blazers and ties and whatever, and wearing Huey, Dewey, and Louie plastic masks.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
It is. I have no idea what's going on there. So, you know, just a random fact. Oh, and Anson Carter's goal.
The only time it was held in Canada, I think, the World Championships. Yeah. It was out east.
Yeah.
And they still had those weird Voto cars that were just in the corner there. That's like the most mesmerizing things about these IIHF tournaments is those like Voto cars. I think it's Voto.
Voto?
The cars that are in the background there.
Oh, yeah.
Those are weird. So, yeah, Anson Carter's goal. What was that?
It was the winning goal. But it took them 10 minutes to decide whether or not it really was the winning goal. Like, whether or not it actually crossed the line or not. 10 minutes. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can, because we're in the booth for these NCHC situations where an all-size call takes 15 minutes. And they still didn't get it right, so.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and you can tell where the NHL and Hockey Canada has their failings, because like they in the 70s they finally got an agreement to be able to put professionals, not necessarily NHL professionals but pro players, so like WHL guys, yeah, or WHA guys or whatever, and so they put all of these WHA, WHL, AHL guys on the team, and they still failed miserably.
Well, you know,
and they never could figure out the fact that it was larger ice, slightly different rules. This tournament was actually more progressive in terms of player safety than like the NHL, because by 1976, the IHL had required full, full blanket.
Double IHF,
yes. Wearing of helmets. Like,
right.
You had to have a helmet. You had to wear a goalie mask. You had to have, you know, so some of these safety things were in place internationally well before they were in the NHL.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting. And they also have the thing where if the goalie helmet there gets hit in the head with a puck, play stops them automatically.
Yep.
So, smart. Can you name the first team or first nation to enter the IIHF and the last nation that has entered the IIHF? Don't look it up.
No, I'm thinking the first one. Huh?
I think both of them are going to be very difficult for you to answer.
Well, then the first one's obviously not Great Britain.
Nope.
France?
There you go. Big winner. France, October 20th, 1908. And then less than a month later, Czech Republic and Great Britain and Switzerland.
I know Germany didn't enter until 1920 something.
1909.
No? Oh.
The U.S. and Canada didn't enter until 1920.
Okay.
The last team to enter in the IIHF. Could you name them? I know I probably couldn't if I didn't have the list in front of me.
Is it an Asian country?
It is not.
Is it an African country?
It is not.
Oh,
no,
had,
it's not.
You had to think about that. Middle East?
Yeah.
So would it be the UAE?
Nope. They were in 2001.
Yemen?
Nope.
Egypt?
Nope.
Egypt's
Africa.
Who?
Qatar. Qatar.
Ah.
2012.
Wow.
The last four, or last five, Qatar, or Qatar, depending on how you pronounce it, Georgia. Oddly enough, I've heard that nation could move to Canada if their team doesn't get their stuff together. as Georgia just has bad with NHL teams. UAE, 2001. Uh-huh. Bosnia and Herzegovina, 2001. And Mongolia, 1999. Ireland, 96.
Yeah.
Very late for Ireland.
Ireland is more of a rugby soccer country.
Sure,
so.
But you would think that with Britain, somebody like Olin Nolan could play there for a bit.
Sure.
Anybody with an O in their name could get the citizenship.
I think, isn't that Geraldine Haney's family?
Yeah, you would know more than I would.
Yeah.
About that. Iceland, 92. Gunnar Stahl barely made the cut for the Goodwill Games. So.
Does Jamaica have a team?
Does Jamaica have a team?
Or Trinidad?
Trinidad and Tobago. I don't think they do. Chinese Taipei does. They got that going for them. Let me see if I can... What are this in nations? Australia's got a team?
Yes, they do. They went to the 1960 Olympics.
They did. Jamaica does not have a team. Trinidad and Tobago does not have a team.
Aw.
Luxembourg has a team. I think everyone plays for that team. Everyone who lives in that nation plays for that team.
All 1,000 of them?
Indeed. Estonia has a team. And, of course, Azerbaijan.
Mm.
So they got that going for them. There you go. That's our look at the worlds. Ta-da! So we talked a couple weeks ago about the NHL doing the greatest Stanley Cup winning teams. And we're down to the final 50. And if you want to vote on the final 50, you have until May 17th, this Wednesday, to get your vote ins. Because on the 18th, I think, they'll be unveiling the top 20. Which we will talk about next week, I'm sure.
I'll probably yell at someone.
Oh, you should yell at this one here, because this list has no teams pre-1952.
Yeah.
There are just, I think, almost every Canadiens Cup-winning team.
Yeah.
The only team out of the ordinary that I'm looking at right here, the Anaheim Ducks... I think that's the only Western team they have, because
they don't have the 89 Calgary team?
Well, they have the 89 Calgary team. They have the Edmonton teams. I'm talking about, like, the U.S. West.
Okay.
Like, Colorado's in there for their championship.
So I was
going to
say, if the 89
96.
Calgary team isn't on there, I will riot. I'm not even particularly a Flames fan.
No,
so.
But, I mean, the fact of the matter remains is that there's very few and far between out of the break. You know, the Avalanche are both the 96 and 2001 team are on there.
No Dallas Stars.
Dallas Stars are not on there for their 99 win.
No LA Kings.
No La Kings. All the Penguins Cup winning teams are on here.
All three of them?
Yeah, four of them.
Four of them.
Yep. The recent Blackhawks winning teams are on here.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Wings teams from the 90s are in here.
Mm-hmm.
All the Oilers teams, all the Islanders, all the Canadians.
So basically it's dynasty heavy.
Yeah. Only the 1974 Flyers are in there, not the 1975 Flyers.
Oh, the 74 Flyers are better, I think. So.
A couple of Boston Bruins teams, and that's that. Like, there's very few separation. You see, very dynasty heavy.
Yeah,
because
that 67 Leafs team should probably be on there.
Here it is. That's the only Leafs team. That's a lie. 63 team is also in there.
Okay, good.
So the 63 team and the 67 are the only Leafs team in there. Why? Like, why even have this thing if you know I can bet you the top 20.
Are going to be half Oilers, half Habs?
Half Oilers, half Habs. No. a third Oilers... Third Habs, the 76 Leafs, and like the Penguins and the Chicago Blackhawks Cup winners. You know that's going to happen.
That's basically how it's going to go.
Because I don't even think the Dynasty Islanders will get a look at
it. I'm surprised the 94 Rangers aren't going to be.
They're on here. I don't think they're going to get the strength in numbers, though. Mm. They're too busy lamenting over why the hell their team stinks. Kind of like Caps fans.
As we all are.
Yeah, so.
Well, I think the 27-28 Rangers should be on that list.
I think that we should just have a duel between the 1919 teams that never won. Figure that whole thing out.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you that there was someone who had a formula to, like, fix it so that there was a winner?
Mm.
Yeah, there was someone who asked me if what about the rules and, you know, well, shouldn't Portland have, or no, Seattle should have won, or, you know, and I was like, well, you know, this is how it happened. They were sick and they wanted to get replacement players, and the other team said, you know, don't worry about it, we'll just cancel the series. And yeah, and the Habs said, well, we will forfeit. And they said, no, we're just going to cancel the series, like, nobody's gonna win. Like, the team that could have won didn't want a winner. And so for you in 2017 to be like, well, I'm gonna fix this and make a winner,
here's
problematic.
Here's why. They want that money. They want that publicity. They want that 15 minutes of fame. I fixed the night. No one cares. Stupid.
No.
Get over yourself.
No. It doesn't need to be fixed, and you're not going to make a name for yourself fixing it. So.
Nope. No. God, no. Not in this day and age. You kidding me?
Yeah.
We've got too many videos to look at. So get your vote ins now. That gave us to two things. A, we should create a 32-team actual bracket style, not this random BS that the NHL is doing.
Yeah.
About the top teams pre-1950 to win a cup. That was a thing. They were just like, well, that's a lot of labor-intensive stuff we have to do. So we kind of might drop that. Then someone brought up a question when we asked questions, because we talked about I put quote-unquote greatest teams on the Twitter. He's like, you should include this team. That I'm like, well, they didn't win a cup. But I'm like, oh, I get what you're saying now. Teams that should have won cups.
Should have won a cup, yeah.
I'll start right now with the 2016-17 Washington Capitals. Throw that out there. Oh, they're going to win it. This is their year. This is their year. Nope.
Yeah, not that you're bitter or anything.
I'm so over this team.
I think that had things gone, if not for that call and that penalty in the Leafs-King series in 93, I think the Leafs could have quite possibly beaten the Habs.
Hmm. Would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Steamboat Willie, who brought this up, he said the 02-03 Senators come to mind. Yeah. A lot of those Senators teams in the early 2000s, like, they were very good.
They were very close.
But Patrick Laine just stunk, and they hit. And again, like the Capitals, they hit their foil in the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs always knew how to beat them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Oilers team that Steve Smith hit the back of the skate of Grant Fuhr and went in, like, that could have been a cup winning team as well. Was that the 89? Is that 89 or 86? I think
I remember it was on Steve Smith's 18th birthday or 19th birthday, something like that. Like, the poor guy scored an own goal in an elimination game on his birthday.
Yeah.
So.
These things happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a big situation. Trying to think of any other teams out there. I mean, you could make any of the Caps teams from the frickin' 2010 onward. Because, these teams, they're due to win. They had the best player in the world. Nope.
Well, there was a short window where the Sharks.
Sharks, I think, yeah, were all also in that thing.
Yeah, well, they just couldn't get over that hump that, you know.
Yeah. Trying to think of other teams around the area. 90. You could say those Blackhawk teams with in the early 90s with Roenick and Larmer and Belfort and Nett.
Yeah.
Those Keenan coach teams. They got to the cup final that one year and then just every time.
They showed up and they're like, guys, where are we?
Yeah,
what's going on here?
They just couldn't get over that other hump. The Rangers, you can say, for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the 90s Bruins team, I think, was good as any. I mean, they pretty much ran through everything, and then they hit the Oilers, and the Oilers ran through them.
I think one of the best teams to not win a cup was probably... I'm going to make sure I get my year right. Like the 81 North Stars.
Okay. Did they lose in the cup final?
They were. I just remember them being one of the most talented teams that just never. Let me look them up here. Make sure I get this right. It was 80-81.
So, yeah,
that was against the island. They ran into the Islanders.
Yeah,
and I think they were probably one of the strongest teams to not win a cup.
I mean, they had a lot of players on that. They had young Dino, young Don Beaupre.
Yeah, it was a really well put together team.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I mean, those are some of ours, but if we had more time to research that rather than just 24 hours and we didn't have stuff to do, like, we could definitely come up with a definitive list on that one.
Yeah.
But we do like questions. Questions at SDRStromBubble on Twitter is where you can get us at. One of the questions from my favorite guy, John Dos Pastos. He asked, I think it's gone, unless it's on my timeline. Oh, yeah, he said, what was, I want to get the question right. Damn it, Cribs, I don't care about what you think the Capitals are going to do. failed NHL relocations or expansions you wish would have happened. For him, he gave an example, an expansion team to Milwaukee in the early 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, the Devils were supposed to relocate to Nashville.
Was this in 80?
This was when they won the Cup in 95.
Wow.
Yeah. They were supposed to relocate to Nashville. So just imagine how that could have worked out, you know?
Parking lot parade, and for any Baltimore people, Mayflower vans out there ready to just take the team right to Nashville. That would have been big.
There were a bunch of relocations that were suggested, like Seattle.
Seattle's been a hot topic. Hamilton's been a hot topic.
Yeah, well, Seattle's been a possibility since 1967, mm-hmm. or 64 when they first started looking at expansion, technically. It's not that I don't think Seattle could support a team. I just think that with Vancouver so close, it would be harder to build up a fan base at first. And I think...
I don't think it'll get the buzz that a basketball team...
Yeah,
or...
I'm trying to think of how to put it, but like Seattle's really more of a basketball, football town than it is a hockey town. And that's not to say it couldn't be a hockey town, because, I mean, God knows the Hartford Whalers relocated to an absolutely not hockey market and made it work
in Raleigh.
Raleigh. I wanted to say Charlotte, and I'm like, no, that's not the right team.
They actually went to Greensboro first before they settled in Raleigh, but Carolina as a whole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like Carolina, you see the how the glory fades now. Mm-hmm. There's no one there. I mean, the glory would fade in Seattle. Like, the buzz would go off, and no one would give a crap about it. That's not to say it wouldn't work for the first couple of years. That's how I see Vegas. Unless Vegas has a big, you know, if they can make a big to-do about it, I don't think anything can happen there.
Yeah, well, the mentality is you want a winner. And your odds of you having a winner in the first 5 years?
Slim.
Yeah. So
Slim pickings. I go back to Baltimore all the time, obviously, and what could have happened and how that could have changed the ideal of people there. I mean, they could have gotten them a new arena faster. It's still standing, the Baltimore arena, somehow, some way.
And
still
you're
going to
take me by it someday.
I have taken you by it.
Was that
the Passing Favor? Was a big square thing in downtown.
Was that the one that looked sort of like it was going to fall in?
Yeah, no.
Oh, that was it?
I'm pretty sure that's the one that I showed you. Like, yeah, there's the arena.
I was like, the roof looks like it's going to collapse.
Yeah, no, it's that's how it's designed. It's terrible. So.
Yeah, some of the other ones that have been mentioned are pretty far from feasible. Saskatoon.
And Saskatoon's funny because it's not only expansion, but the Blues.
Yeah.
The Blues almost moved there in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
That one, I think, is...
That one's a dream big, kids. Dream big.
It's not dream big. I don't think it is a dream big. I think it's a... Because you see how they support the Rough Riders.
Sure.
That's the only pro sports team they have.
Sure.
If they have another team, like in Saskatchewan, you don't think people are going to be driving to Saskatoon to go? Those people are goddamn crazy.
Maybe, but you have to consider that the NHL considers Winnipeg a small market team. So
and they are.
If Winnipeg is a small market team, what's
Saskatoon?
Saskatoon
is super small. But they would still make money. I think, and that's what the money... That's what the NHL cares about. They don't care about small markets.
Maybe. I think
I mean, that's why they made the Winnipeg season ticket people could, you know, contractually commit to 5 years so they can get their monies.
Yeah. I was this close to buying a pair of season tickets that first year.
Why? Just to have them?
Yeah.
But then you had to buy for four more years.
Yeah, that's the part where I was like, no.
I can't.
And trying to find someone to share them with.
And then driving.
Yeah, no.
So.
Yeah. Hamilton.
Hamilton's always been an interesting one to me because you get into that whole, what would Toronto say? Because that's in the GTA bubble.
Sure. Well, they would have to pay territorial rights.
Yeah, and I don't think that would be...
That would be backbreaking, to be honest.
That would be in the B billions.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think, what was LA? LA was paid $75 million by Anaheim.
Yeah.
That was in 93.
Yeah.
So, like, you prorate that, that's probably, what, quarter of a million this now?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, when they wanted to bring the Islanders in, they had to pay territorial rights to three teams.
And those were?
The Leafs, the Rangers, and the Sabres.
I could see the Rangers and partly the Sabres.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't partly see the Sabres at all. That's Western New York. There's no way that you're pulling.
Yeah, but that's how they work out territorial rights. It doesn't have to make sense. It has to make money. Mm-hmm. So I think the territorial rights would be, and you know, they were almost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And that was back in the 70s. So,
and if you're going to play that card, I bet your Buffalo tries to get money in the territorial rights too, so that would be an addition to that.
Yeah. So, and it goes on like viewership and broadcast areas and, you know, all of these things. So, how would they figure that out? The other ones mentioned were Oklahoma City, Kansas City.
Kansas City's still hoping. They have that big disco ball in the center of town and no one cares.
Indianapolis was mentioned briefly once.
Mm.
And after the whole racers fiasco,
sure.
I think that kind of fell out of vogue. I don't know. I think it'd be fun to see a team in Indy. They have a minor league team there, don't they? The
Fuel.
Fuel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's a...
There's a lot of what-ifs in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those situations where you can go ahead and pick an area and then go from there if they would work, if they would not work.
Well, eventually they're just going to have one in every state.
Might as well. Except Georgia. They can't keep a damn team for the life of them.
A second team time around, it wasn't necessarily the team's fault as it was ownership abandoning the team a la Blues.
Yeah, but at the same time, like... Both teams have gone to Canada.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying the second time.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Don't fool me once, shame on me.
Yeah.
Fool me once, shame on you. Not going to fool me again. So, yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I forgot about Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
They've seemed to be flourishing in the AHL and then back then in the IHL. So.
Yeah, they seem to have enormous support as an AHL team.
I can see you try that crap now. Oh, Minnesota would be all over you. Oh, Chicago would be all over you. So.
Yeah, Minnesota getting another team was almost inevitable, to be honest.
That's why I'm surprised Quebec City hasn't got one yet.
Yeah. They're ready. That's
kind of inevitability as well.
Yeah. Well, if it's either relocation or an expansion.
I think it's going to be the former rather than the latter.
Probably.
Carolina, pack your bags. That's what it's going to go to. Carolina's fledgling. Carolina's fledgling at the business side of things.
Yeah. Well, they've had a lot of turmoil, too, in their front office with the owner and the owner's kids and finances. And
Carmanos is at the point where it's just like, I want to sell the team, but I still want to be a part of the team.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, no, you can't sell the team and still be the owner.
Well, it's like, what's his nut in New York, the Islanders? Wang.
Mm.
Like, it's just like, I want to sell you the team, but I also want to have
control of the team.
Control of the team, and my son Short Round make all the draft picks.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's, you know, they're struggling with poor signings and poor drafting, and their development isn't that great.
You kind of SOL at that point.
Yeah.
Dig your own grave.
Yeah, so, I mean, they really need some sort of internal rebuild.
Are we talking about the Islanders or the Hurricanes or both?
Yes.
Well, I think the Islanders probably more than the Canes. Canes seem to get their crap together a little bit.
Yeah, they're working on
it. Ronnie Franchise has done a hell of a job.
Yeah, and he doesn't take a lot of shit.
No.
So.
Yeah, the Islanders, they got new ownership. They still have Garcinoz, their GM.
So. You're going to have to pry him out of there with one of those, like, secret launch button seats, like, out of the cartoons.
He was there for 7 years.
Yeah.
I think probably more than that. I'm trying to think of when he was started. Like, if...
Let's see.
Look it up. Because I think it was, like, after he announced his retirement. By the way, Roger Dorn the thing.
And yeah, he's like, I'm retiring, and I will now be GM. Like, hey. Literally in the same...
Is it too early for a Garth Snow poster night?
Let's see. On July 18th, 2006, Snow officially confirmed his retirement and was named general manager of the New York Islanders.
Same day. Same bloody day.
Yeah. And, well, they had Neil Smith on the job for 41 days. Nice. Like, a month and a half. And by...
He probably saw zero hockey action, too. Because when was that day?
What?
That he got hired?
July 18th.
So, yeah, he saw zero hockey action and made zero hockey moves.
Yeah.
I would love to see the guys that Neil Smith signed, though.
Yeah.
Because he would have been the first 3 weeks there for free agency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's much criticism of Snow. He had no experience in management. Defenders pointed to Snow's master's degree in business and degree in administration and bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of Maine. So... Some of his first moves were for Marc-Andre Bergeron, Richard Zednik, and Ryan Smith.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Bergeron was okay, I guess.
Yeah.
For the time.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy, I want to go back and read the free agencies who got signed by Neil Smith, and then she's like, wait, where'd Neil go?
Yeah. Snow is,
interesting.
Yeah. I just, he's far, far better than what they had before.
Mm-hmm.
Before Neil Smith, I should say. Because before Neil Smith, they had Mike Milbury, who fired himself twice.
Well, these things happen. He also hired Rick Bonus like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
All right.
And at one point, he openly admitted that he was fed up with the job and the team, and he was trying to make ownership fire him.
Weird.
Yeah. So
I'm scrolling down here. I have the free agency. Mike Sillinger, signed by Neil Smith. Well, he could have been signed by Garth Snow, too. Who the hell knows? Like, Mike Sillinger is just a nomad, was just a nomad.
He might still be. We never know. Just wandering from rink to rink coaching.
Yeah. Brendan, he becomes like the Elias Sampson the whole thing. Brendan Witt was a signee of Neil Smith. Andy Hilbert. Somebody called an Andy Hilbert. Scroll. Tom Pody.
Really?
Remember that name?
Everybody? Yes.
Chris Simon. On that team, everybody. Like, these are all pre July 18th. And then we get to, and that was it. And then he got hired. And his first signing, Rick Barry, everybody.
Wow. Rick Big splash Barry. There.
Jesus. Well, and then we're getting, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel because Mark Recchi got signed on the 25th and Eddie Beaufort got signed by the Panthers on the 26th. Recchi by the Penguins. So. All right, then. All right, well, I think we've done it. I don't think there were any other questions, were there?
I had one.
All right, what's the question?
Why isn't Rick Middleton in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah, that one. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
You'd know more about that than I would.
The problem is, the further you get away from the era, the harder it is to convince people to vote for that person. And it's just a recency bias type thing. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Probably. But then it's one of those things where, well, if you put Middleton in, then you have to put... what's his name? It's like if you put Osgood into the Hall of Fame, then you have to automatically put Curtis Joseph into the Hall of Fame. You have to automatically put like there's this whole equivalency thing that starts going and people will argue for and against. So it's not that he was...
Well, it's the Matt Sundin situation.
Yeah.
Like Matt Sundin's there, but Pierre Turgeon had equal numbers to him and he's not even getting a sniff of it.
Yeah, and part of that is a personality thing with Pierre too.
But he never played in that. He played, what, 2-3 years in Montreal?
Yeah.
He was the captain of the team that brought him into Bell Center?
Yeah. The problem is some people have stupid long memories, emphasis on stupid. And so they will remember that Turgeon was the guy who refused to fight in...
Pistani.
Yeah. Yeah. And they still hold a grudge about that.
Yeah,
it's the same reason why Theo Fleury's not going to get into the Hall of Fame, because they all think he's some pissant, bad attitude, and they can't shake that, despite whatever it is he's doing right now, that all the good he's doing right now, they're never going to forgive him for the shit he did in 1995, 1990, whatever year.
Well, you know, he did yell and beat up some people when he was in those darker days in Colorado and Chicago, so...
Yeah, but... It should be theoretically on merit of what you did on the ice, and it rarely is. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, what'd you do on the ice? What'd you do for me? What'd you do for?
I think it's 60-40.
Yeah,
60 on ice, 40% off ice, and then if you don't get a 70, you're, you know.
Yeah, and if there aren't enough people on your side, and time passes, then the whole memory fades, and then.
Well, you know, you don't know the Elders Guild, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because these guys are, Christ, like, you don't know who the hell's voting for. Like, you know who the voters are, but you don't know how they voted or when they voted
or why,
who they voted or what kind of voting system there is. Like,
yeah. So, like, it's almost like the Illuminati are meeting. I mean, it's just...
The one thing I would love is what the MLB is doing, where they have to make the votes public.
Yeah.
Like, that would be huge.
Well, in baseball, that's to stop the what'd you call it? Like the old boys mentality or the old club mentality.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's also like, like there are a lot of writers out there who are falling by the wayside because they're older. Like baseball writers are on the skew much older than any other writers, and with the exception of maybe boxing or possibly basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, these older guys, they don't want to see someone get in with 100%, so they won't put them on the ballot.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, it's just a stupid, petty.
Sure, I don't think it's petty. I think it's just baseball is weird with tradition.
It feels petty.
Well, yeah, but it's tradition. They call it tradition. They don't call it pettiness. They call it tradition.
Yeah.
And I also think it stops because what Dan Le Batard did and gave his vote to Deadspin. And you don't remember this story. Have you heard about this one? Okay, so Dan Le Batard, he was a sports writer for the Miami Herald. I don't know if he does ESPN stuff now. But he was a voter for the Hall of Fame. I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago. 2004. Dan Le Batard turned his ballot. Come on. So he was the voter. He went to Deadspin. He's like, all right, you guys pick my ballot. And the Deadspin guys picked the ballot. And it was Dan Le Batard.
I seem to remember there was someone else who, like, stapled a note to his ballot and was like, I refuse to vote for anyone. And it was some chicken shit reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people, right, again, tradition. Not chicken shit, tradition. So Dan Le Batard, he just decided, you know what, here, Deadspin, you put your polls up, and then we'll pick those top 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And then I think he got suspended by by the Writers Association. He got his card pulled because of that. So, I mean, yep, he loses his Hall of Fame vote, and he was suspended from ESPN.
Yeah, I feel like hockey suffers from that same sort of mentality at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to vote for Ovi because of narrative A, and I'm not going to vote for, you know, so-and-so because he was rude to me in the scrum, and I won't put up with that, and this will show him, and, you know, like, just...
So here was the thing. I'm sorry, he wasn't suspended from ESPN. He was suspended from the Baseball Writers Association. The board of directors decided to remove Dan Le Batard's membership for 1 year. For transferring his Hall of Fame ballot to an entity that had not owned voting status. Punishment is allowed under the organization's constitution. In addition, Le Batard will not be able to vote on the Hall of Fame candidates from this point forward.
Permanently?
Permanently. Wow. So he lost his value. I think that's a relief, too, because it's just like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's first off, it's 10 guys you get to pick, and then it's percentage after that. And...
Yeah. And,
and apparently that Levitard, there's no rule against crowdsourcing a ballot, and he's not the first one to do it. There's no law against filling out a ballot to antagonize, just to antagonize bloggers or leaving names off the to avoid Long Cooperstown ceremony is what guys have done before that, you know, they're still allowing, even though these guys probably deserved it to get it in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I remember one guy, like, stapled a note to his ballot and had some stupid reason, like, stupid baseball tradition reason. He's like, I'm not voting for anyone. Take that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, Jesus, if you don't want to vote, then get the hell out.
Then don't vote.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've done our show. So reveal your votes, everybody. If you're a Hall of Fame voter, if you have a Twitter or, like, blog, or just give it to a blogger and they'll post their vote. Like, why not? Like, who cares? Jesus. Like, it's like the Pope. It's like the Pope voting. You know who votes, but you don't know how they vote.
Yeah.
All you know is that there's black smoke or white smoke, and that's it. Jesus. Where's that other Pope that just stepped down a couple years back? Benedict. Where's he at now?
He's in some monastery somewhere.
Is he doing, like, the president thing, where after he's a former president, you still get to be called Pope, but, like, you get to go around and, like, do, you know, speeches and get paid an inordinate amount of money?
No, I think he's still called Your Holiness, but he's in retirement, basically.
Mm. Are they going to retire his number? Are they going to retire his 16th, like, Benedict 16th? That'd be great if they retired,
you know what?
With papal hats, if they retire the numbers.
You know what's going to be weird?
Hmm. Is when John Paul comes back from the dead, John Paul II,
no.
The greatest pope to ever live.
No, when Bettman finally is either fired or steps down.
Oh, he's going to step down.
I think he's going to step down because he's got that much control.
And he's making the owners money and doing their bidding.
Yeah.
What more of a yes man do you want?
Sure, but eventually there's going to come a day where he's like, you know what? I want to spend more time with my grandkids, or I want to go to Europe with my wife, or I'm going to
write a
book.
Well, that's
why
I set up those Europe games for next year, so he can go to Europe with his wife and still be on business.
But do you realize that for the majority of the lifespan of fans, that he's been like the...
He's a Teflon Don.
Yeah.
And I love him for it. I told this story before, but why I garnered so much respect for Bettman is when I heard him speak in Washington during one of those
the fan fest type.
Yeah,
things,
well, not even fan fest. It was before a game. It was before a Canucks game, and the Canucks only mustered 10 shots on goal on Brent Johnson all night. Like, everyone in the arena cheered when they got the 10th shot with 5 minutes left in the third. But it was beforehand. It was like a meet and greet situation where he went on this arena tour and he spoke with fans at a little intimate meeting. He had to buy tickets for it. And like the Caps fans at that point, it was late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say 2008-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like being normal Caps fans that they are. Well, why don't you do this? Well, he's like, listen, I'm tired of this. I don't need your... Like, he was so curt and he was so just sassy about everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, why doesn't this Bettman show up on my TV all the time? I love him. I'd vote for him. Like, he is such a... He's a businessman.
Yeah, you know, I used to really not like him at all until I got into doing more history and understanding more of, like, the background, like the moving parts behind the scenes. And that was, you know, he's the speaking head. He's not necessarily the decision maker.
And you have to have that kind of jerk ass in front of it.
Yeah.
You know,
you
deflect.
Have to have someone with that sort of tough
right.
front to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. And so once you realize that, like, 90% of the time he's the messenger and not necessarily the decision maker.
My favorite part when he plays to the crowd at the drafts
and
everything like that, just soaks it in like the true heel that he is.
I want him to do that Alexa moment.
Yeah, it's rude.
Or just like, say, what if I'm the best? What?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly. Say, what if you're an Alexa Bliss fan? Thank you.
Yeah.
So there we go. It'll be fun. It'll be fantastic. We'll be ready to go. Next week, who knows? I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about. We don't know until like 2 days before we do it.
Yeah, because then one of us goes, you know what's interesting.
Right, hey, you want to spark something up? All right. So people can find you.
NHL History Girl.
On Twitter. find me at Scotty Waz on Twitter. We are part of the Face Off Hockey Show Media faction. Yeah, it's FOHSMF. I took that to a vote to everyone else, and they enjoyed that one more, much more than the media regime. So that's it for Jen. I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. Has been the Soderstrom Bubble on faceoffhockeyshow.com or wherever you find podcasts. We'll talk to you guys next week. Follow us on Twitter, SDRStrom Bubble. Bye, everybody.